Hello there. I am the Projectionist, and welcome to my sinister Tales of Terror.
Projectionist?
Ooh, hello there, Ross Shirey. Do come in. I was fiddling with my Zenith radio here. I had it brought all the way from the haunted drive-in to keep me company on these long nights down here in the Retroist Vault.
It looks like an old radio. That's for sure.
Oh, it most certainly is, dear boy. This is a 1936 model. It uses tubes, of course. Not like your fancy radios today. Tube radios are far better, in my opinion.
Not surprised you would say that, Projectionist. I do like the walnut cabinet design.
The tubes give it that wonderful warm glow that you see emanating from this model. Though, I will admit I get far more interference from it down here in the vault. Must be all those new-fangled doodads that the Retroist has installed.
We have 23.
Oh, that is new. For the last 10 years, that particular channel has said something quite different, Ross.
Did it only say 22 by chance?
Why, yes. How did you know?
Because that just happens to be what my research is about this week. A case that ties into a phenomenon sometimes referred to as dark radio broadcasts.
That would be the perfect subject for one of my sinister tales of terror, Ross.
I'm sure it will be, Projectionist. Especially considering we started recording a few minutes ago.
What?
Yeah, didn't you get my memo reminding you that we were recording today?
I'm not sure. I get so many pieces of paper slipped under my door. Remember, the Retroist isn't spying on you. Stop putting intern Rockford J in the quiet hole. Preston Griffith is the vault librarian. You can't...
Sorry to interrupt you, Projectionist, but since we've been recording for a few minutes now, we better get to my research, which I've called 22.
How remarkable. This marks the 22nd episode.
What a happy little coincidence. Thanks again to both Preston and Rockford for help on this one, as it surprisingly didn't occur in Haddonfield.
Not everything dark and creepy occurs in my beloved hometown, dear listeners. I have said as such on earlier radio broadcasts, after all.
Well, most of the research comes from a Jason Mell. This was back in the 1970s, and thankfully he didn't experience a dark radio broadcast for himself. But he heard about it through a family member, his Aunt Ada, a widower. Her husband's name was J.J. Wilson. And he was said to be not only a radio enthusiast, kind of like yourself, Projectionist, but he also loved to find vintage military equipment and fix it up. Which, it appears, is what happened, listeners. J.J. was able to pick up an old, beat-up BC-224 military receiver in an estate sale. J.J. served in the armed forces himself, but unfortunately, I wasn't able to locate which branch during my research. Jason was a little vague on that.
Dark radio, Ross. It has also been called the dark frequencies phenomenon.
Correct. Jason's Aunt Ada said she remembers being extremely skeptical about her husband being able to fix up the BC-224 receiver, telling her nephew that she might have been even a little unkind in her comments. Listeners, in regards to dark radio or dark frequency broadcasts, Those who have heard such a thing for themselves say it only occurs on AM radio stations. It apparently took a few weeks to rebuild and obtain the necessary parts, but J.J. Wilson was able to bring the vintage military radio back to life. Ada claims that after he got the BC-224 working again, he would spend most evenings after dinner trying to tune into bizarre AM stations.
I can think of a few Haddonfield radio stations that use amplitude modulation transmissions that fit that very bill, dear listeners.
About a week or so after JJ fixed the old military radio, he discovered an odd broadcast. While it wasn't very clear, the man told his wife he could make out the words, "We have, we have, we have."
What, Ross? They had what?
Well, at the time, that is all that J.J. Wilson was picking up on his old military radio. Jason's Aunt Ada told him that she thought it might be some late-night college radio show or even a prank. The next night, though, the signal was clearer, stronger, and Ada's husband heard, "We have 21. We have 21. We have 21.
That was all it said? Looping over and over?
Exactly, projectionist. Although J.J. Wilson happened to have a reel-to-reel tape recorder in his little garage where he had set up shop, he recorded the message to play back to Ada. When he shared it with her, he noticed there was something in the background of the audio.
Ooh, a hidden message, eh?
Of sorts. J.J. Wilson realized when he was playing it back for Ada that there were clicks in the background. It was, in fact, Morse code. When Ada's husband realized this, he began to translate the clicks of the Morse code. Turns out, it was coordinates. As if that wasn't odd enough, it was coming from the old abandoned military base, no more than an hour away.
I knew it! Who else but the government would be sending out secret messages on old radio equipment?
I just said it was an abandoned military base, though. As in, it was closed down.
That is what they want you to think, Ross. Abandoned. Except for the collection of frozen lizard men.
Projectionist, I really think you should switch to decaf. Seriously. While Ada naturally told her husband to forget the whole thing, that isn't what J.J. Wilson did. He went to check out the military base himself, and unlike what the projectionist might fear, it was an abandoned base. There weren't even fences to keep the curious from walking around the rusting Quonset huts. While it was officially abandoned, J.J. Wilson told Ada the very last thing they talked about before his disappearance, that at the end of the base, there was an arch building that had mostly been spared the ravages of time. Through one of the dirty windows, Ada's husband said he noticed in the empty building there was a single table under a hanging lamp. Upon that table was an old military radio. A BC-224, with a microphone attached.
Oh my! So not abandoned after all, eh?
Well, J.J. Wilson apparently wanted to go back the next day and check it out. His wife was obviously the more level-headed of the two, and asked him to just forget about the whole thing. He already had a story he could tell the family and his friends. But J.J. was a curious soul, and he disappeared the very next day. Obviously, his wife alerted the police and told them about the military base. She feared that, possibly, he suffered a stroke or worse. The authorities checked out the abandoned post and found nothing. No sign of Ada's husband, as well as no standing structures. But then a week later, Ada told her nephew that JJ's old radio squawked to life one night, scaring her half to death, but not as much as what she heard next. It was J.J. Wilson's voice saying over and over, "We have 22. We have 22. We have 22. That, listeners, is what I have to share about the case we've called 22.
Very interesting, Ross. This took place in the 70s, eh?
Indeed.
Jeez!
We have 24.
You said you've been aware of the station for at least 10 years, Projectionist?
Indeed.
So since we've been recording the episode, whatever this dark radio phenomenon is all about, seems to be back and it's claimed two more people?
Perhaps this is a good stopping point.
Yeah, maybe you should turn off that radio.
Agreed. Until next time, dear listeners. I hope you are in enjoying season 2 of our radio show. If you would like to reach me on the internets, you may do so by the Facebooks. Projectionist Haunted Drive-In. I want to thank Ross Shirey for his research on this broadcast. I also will give a thank you to the Retroist for carrying my broadcast on his station. When you wish to learn of the joy and history of pop culture, you should visit the Retroist. This has been a Retroist production. Sleep well and goodbye.